to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Oh, sing this hymn of praise, because he lives. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Sing this out.
God sent his son.
Question we ask every time, who's ready for baptism? All right, so we are excited today to have Miss Bayla Rae Haskew here professing her faith in Christ, and it's an honor for her father to be able to be a part of this baptism and to make it happen, and so we're thankful for that. Nathan.
Bayla Rae, who's your Lord and Savior?
Jesus.
Because of your profession of faith, I now baptize you. Not only as my daughter, but as my sister. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. You know, we sang about the fact that death was arrested. We sang about the fact that we can, because Jesus lives, we can face tomorrow. And then we saw this beautiful symbol, and it's a symbol. It's just, honestly, this is just mud water. Quite frankly, I don't think Lucian turned the heat on early enough. It's pretty cold. So anyway, But the reality is, the water's not special. It's a symbol. It's a symbol of the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus. It's a symbol of us dying to our old ways, being made new and clean by God's grace, and then new in Him. And so it's a beautiful tradition, 2,000 years old, for those who follow Christ to be baptized. And so we celebrate that. But it's always a reminder of how much He loves us, because here's the reality. This water didn't save Baylor Ray. The grace of Jesus did. Here's the reality. She's a young lady. So she will have times where she will disobey the Lord in sin. How do I know that? Because I'm looking at all of you and me. And we too have been down that road. But to know that it is God's grace who holds her secure. It is God's grace who makes us new every morning. It's just a reminder of how much He loves us. So would you sing this little chorus together? Oh, how He loves. Sing it with me right now slowly. Oh, how He loves you and me. Lift it up. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life. What more could He give? Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you and me. Let's stand together and sing this with Don together.
So much. I love what Moses, leading into this next song, I love what Moses talks about in Exodus 33. He talks about wanting to see the glory of God, wanting to see God's goodness. Listen to Exodus 33:19. It says this, and this is the Lord, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Aren't you thankful for the goodness of God this morning? Let's sing that together.
Been
So faithful. God, would you be faithful now to speak to us through your word? It is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. So may we understand it. I pray that your Holy Spirit would help us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated if you will. If you have a Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 4. This is week 18 of our series through the book of Philippians called Find Joy. We've got about 3 weeks left. And I'm excited to see this through to the end. It's been a wonderful book as we've studied this whole idea of finding joy through Philippians. And we've made it to chapter 4. And this would be one of the most well-known passages in Philippians. It says this in Philippians 4, beginning in verse 8. Paul says, finally. He starts it by finally because he's changing the tone. He has gone from giving some wonderful exhortation. He's gone from giving some great input to them and telling them how to live and defending some of the gospel even. And now he is going to really land this plane for this letter, and he's going to give them an opportunity to put some real feet to their faith. So he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if anything is excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. He says, whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, think about these things. Now listen, let me put this in Chris Johnson's New Sand Mountain Translation, okay? Here's what he is saying to us. He's saying, you need to log off Facebook and Instagram, turn off CNN and Fox News, and don't drive on Highway 431. If you want to think lovely, pure thoughts, those are the things to avoid, okay? The reality is it's not easy. You can't avoid some of those, right? So this whole idea of thinking good things and putting your faith into action, it implies that your thoughts and your mind are most important in spiritual warfare. And over in the Bible, we will see that to be the case. So here's two questions for you this morning. Why are our thoughts so important? And number two, how do we control our thoughts? You know, it's difficult to control your thoughts. In fact, if you're not careful, someone else can control your thoughts for you. Let's do a little experiment. We'll try it. Let me think here for a moment. I would like everyone in the room, whatever you do, do not think right now of a purple crocodile. Whatever you do, don't think of a purple crocodile. Now, how many of you are thinking of a purple crocodile? Several of you, right? In your mind, something can be suggested to you and you can't help but go there. You can think all day long, I don't know. But your mind will go where we don't always want it to, through suggestion even. So when the scripture talks about controlling your mind, how in the world do we do that? And why is it important that we do? Well, here's some thoughts. The scripture tells us why it's important. Isaiah chapter 26, beginning in verse 3, it says, "You keep him," God keeps him "in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock." What does that say? God keeps you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him. Romans chapter 8, verse 5, Paul says this, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God." What does that say? If you want to live for the Lord, if you don't want to walk in your own flesh, you must set your mind on him. Romans 12, 2, Paul says this, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So what does this mean? It means your mind and my mind, they are the active key to following Christ. If you want to really follow Jesus, you won't do it with your heart. Now, your heart's involved, and we have all kinds of songs and thoughts and ideas in Hollywood that say follow your heart. But the reality is you will worship God with your mind, and it will lead your heart, or your heart will lead you astray many, many times. We must actively lead with our minds through focus and input. If you don't do this, what will happen is our feelings and our emotions will start to direct our mind, when it really should be the other way around. There's a saying we've used before, and it's true. If you're writing things down, it wouldn't hurt you to write this down. When emotions go up, intelligence goes down. Let me say it again, because it's true, and you may have to think about it a minute. But when emotions go up, intelligence goes down. I'll prove it to you. Right now, you could log on to Facebook really quickly and look for any controversial topic you want to find. Just read the comments on anything about politics, sexuality, rants, about the school system, anything you want to do. Just find anything slightly controversial, and you start watching people's emotions go up and reading the comments, and intelligence goes down. It's what happens time and time and time again. That's why our thoughts matter, because our thoughts will lead our emotions to get bigger. And so it's important that we learn how to control our thoughts. Proverbs 23 says this, "Whatsoever a man thinks in his heart," what he thinks from his mind that goes to his heart, "whatsoever a man thinks in his heart, so is he." That's a scary verse. That's a verse that should be a little bit frightening to us, because whatever we let in through our mind that gets to our heart is what we become in a lot of ways. So it's important that we learn how to deal with that and guard that and work with that. We have to regularly and actively focus on God's word, and that's what Paul talks about. Now, this passage, chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, it gives us all of these specific things to think about. It's not an exhaustive list. There's more, but these are some godly principles that if you'll live them out, it will change your life and it will change my life. So let's look at them together. Philippians 4, 8, we'll call this part A of that verse. It says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true." Whatever is true. How many of you know Satan is a liar? Amen? Satan is a liar. John 8, 44 tells us that there's no truth in him, and he is the father of lies. 2 Corinthians 11 says that his desire is to lead your mind and my mind away from devotion to Christ. He is a liar, and he will do all he can to keep truth far from you. So if we're going to think about what is true, we have to not allow Satan to infiltrate, but instead we need to focus on the word of God. So if I were to give you a phrase to try to live out, to focus on what is true, here it is. It's three words, focus and fill. If you could try to live that out, focus and fill. Focus daily on the word of God and fill your mind consistently with the truths of God. Where do you find the truths of God? Well, first of all, by focusing on the word of God, you find truth. So that's the first part. But you can also find truth about God by listening to Christian music. You can find truth about God by attending a small group. You can find truth about God by showing up for worship and hearing a message. You can find truth about God in your personal devotion, by being around mature friends. On and on we could go. So focus on the word of God daily and fill your life and your mind with God's truth by those we have around us and by what we do around us. Let me say this with you very specifically. If you're not consistently spending time in the Bible, in God's Word, then I want you to understand, above everything else we talk about today, that's the next right step for you. The next step in this message today is something you could take home and live out above everything else, is to focus on truth. And if you're not consistently in God's Word, just start today. Listen, don't beat yourself up about having a difficult week last week with it. Just start today in God's Word. You might say, Chris, I don't really know how to study God's Word. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to read or not read, or how to read it and how to know what it's saying to me. Well, let me say a few things. First of all, the more you read and the more you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal, the more He will. But also, we have some tools and some helps for you. We would love for you to utilize those. If you'll go to our website, albervillefbc.church, you will see a tab at the top that says Next Steps. If you'll click on that, you'll see multiple things listed there that will help you learn how to read God's Word, ask a few basic questions to understand it, and then how to apply it to your life. Or you can call us and we'll help you. It's not enough for us to say read God's Word. We want you to be able to understand it. So feel free to reach out to us. Let us help you focus on the Word of God. We can help. Now look at the next part of verse 8. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, then it says, whatever is honorable, whatever is just. Whatever is honorable and just, it literally means what is worthy of respect and what is right by God's standards. That is what's honorable and just, what's worthy of respect and what's right by God's standards. If you want to know how to live that out, write this question down and ask this. Here's the question. Is this what God thinks, or is it what I think? Next time you're having a thought about something, stop and ask, is this what God thinks, or is this what I think? I want to be honest with you. Sometimes my thoughts overpower God's thoughts in my mind, for sure, and I begin to think what I want to think. And my mind will come down hard on somebody else's sin and shortcomings, but it will be pretty lenient on myself for the things that I struggle with. Any of you ever been there? As it happens, we can overlook our own offenses, but boy, we get upset about somebody else's, that's for sure. Listen, it took me years to learn that my opinion is not near as important as God's truth. Let me say that again. My opinion, and let me be personal with you, your opinion is not near as important as God's truth. The reality is, God's not Republican or Democrat. God's not American or other. He's not white, brown, black. He's not Southern or Northern or any of that. God is God, and God's truth is God's Word. Now, we approach it all from different perspective in our lives. So it's important that we look for what God's perspective is, for what His truth is saying. His truth should make us, not the other way around. I love the late, great Rich Mullins, a songwriter who's now with the Lord, said this. He said, we do not make God's truth. It is making us. Listen, we don't make God's truth. God's truth is making us. And so that is exactly what God is doing in our lives. Let's look at the next part, chapter 4, verse 8, part C. Whatever is pure, think on these things. Whatever is pure. The Philippian church, like all New Testament believers, they were bombarded with sexual immorality. They were bombarded with impurity. And I want you to understand something, and you'll know it to be true. Little has changed in 2,000 years. We still live in a day where we are bombarded with sexual impurity and other types of impurity. It's the battlefield that Satan seems to choose over and over because it's an easy target in our minds. And so he does. But the New Testament is full of commands and exhortations to walk in the purity of God. So what I want to encourage you to do and encourage me to do is to not trust our own hearts always, but to seek God's word first. Here's what I've learned, if I can be practical for a moment. Both men and women can struggle in the area of purity and impurity. It can be a struggle for men and women alike. Now, I can speak to the idea in men's lives because I am one, but I can ponder on the idea for others as well. But we all can struggle if we're not careful with impure thoughts. And so the reality is, we have to learn as followers of Jesus, if we want to follow hard after him, if we want to be in right relationship with him, we have to work on what it means to walk in purity. And you have to become a student of yourself. And here's one of the things that I learned a long time ago that I have found it to be true. And that is this: you can learn when you are most vulnerable to stinking thinking.
And everybody from time to time has some stinking thinking. It's some thinking in your mind that will lead to temptation, that will lead to sin. It, for you, it may be the sin of gluttony. For you, it may be the sin of pornography. For you, it may be the sin of anger or acting out on that. For you, it may be the sin of gossip. For you, whatever it is, every last one of us can have thoughts in our minds that will lead us to a temptation that we end up giving in. And then as believers, we say, man, I wish I had not done that. God, I'm sorry. And here I am again apologizing one more time. You've been there. You understand. So what we have to do is learn the patterns of our lives. And here's what I've learned about purity, especially sexual purity, whether that becomes lust, whether that becomes affairs, whether that becomes adultery, pornography, any number of things. Here's what I've learned. There's always a pattern in your life, in mine, and the lives of every person who struggles in this way at one point or another. And so for a lot of men, can I share with you what I've found in my own life to lead towards some areas of temptation from time to time in my mind? And that is, it's the word halt, H-A-L-T. You may have heard this before. I've shared it before, but you've probably heard it before too. We are often our most vulnerable to temptations from the enemy when we are H, hungry, when we are A, angry, when we are L, lonely, or when we are T, tired. Hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. Some of you are like, Chris, you're kidding me. I am all four of those right this second, okay? I get it. I get it, all right? What I'm saying to you is this, though. We can find ourselves struggling in these areas. And so you have to become a student of yourself. Because I promise you, your enemy's a student of you. And so the reality is, if we can learn how to redirect our thoughts when we're hungry. Here's what I learned, the secret. When I become really hungry, I'm more tempted to be snippy and angry. And so what I've learned, you know how I've learned to defeat that when I get hungry? I eat something, okay? That is not rocket science, all right? Eat something healthy, something that'll be a little filling, a little protein, and you'll help yourself. If you find yourself getting angry, you know, when you see it coming and you know you're about to talk bad about someone or go off on someone or really do something you shouldn't do, or believe it or not, and this may be a surprise and a shock to some in the room, but to others, you'll track with me right away. Maybe for you, when you find yourself angry, that's when you struggle with purity the most. That's when you struggle with lust, and that's when you struggle with other sexual morality the most, is when you're angry. And it becomes some release mechanism in your life. Can I encourage you? You have to begin to think through what's processing the anger. You have to throw that against the wall of God's truth and about what's really happening and what's really making you angry and deal with it. Sometimes it's loneliness. If that's the case, you find a friend you can love and call and talk to and encourage. When I was traveling in evangelism as a young man, I was in my early 20s. I was single, and I would spend 250 to 275 nights a year on the road, traveling, doing music and speaking and some other things in churches. And so I was in hotel after hotel after hotel, and I would find myself lonely at times and struggling. And so I had two friends. They're both one I communicate with often still now, but they're two friends, and we had an agreement. We were all three young men, single young men, so we had an agreement that we would care for one another and pray for one another in our times of struggle. And so we had a plan, and our plan was this: if I ever was struggling with impurity or my thought life, or I felt tempted that I was going to be led astray in some way, my goal was to call Damon, and his name was Damon, and I would call Damon, and he would stop whatever he was doing. If it was 2 o'clock in the morning or if it was 10 o'clock in the morning, it didn't matter. If I called him, and by the way, this was before caller ID, so there was no caller ID. He just had to answer the phone, and he knew if he got a call at 2 a.m., it was going to be me somewhere just saying, hey, I'm lonely, I'm struggling, would you pray for me? And so he would pray for me, and then if Damon would struggle, he would pray for our friend Dodd, not God, Dodd, D-O-D-D. He would pray for Dodd, and if Dodd was struggling, he would call me. And so we had this little triangle that we worked out together. And what we learned as young adult men who were trying to walk in integrity with the Lord, what we learned was this: if you find yourself struggling in areas of temptation, if you will bring somebody else into the mix, here's what happens. First of all, they're going to pray for you. And when someone prays for you, it will strengthen you. Secondly, they're bringing God into the situation. Just me stopping and asking for the help allows God to have some rule and reign in the situation, and it reflects my mind. And then thirdly, it would allow us, every time we felt, we also added one more element to it, and that was this: anytime I was tempted, I would not only ask Damon to pray for me, I would stop and pray for Damon. So that meant my friend Damon, every time I was struggling, he would get prayed for. And it was a beautiful way of building someone up. This whole little triangle worked for us, and it worked great for many, many years. And can I say to you, what am I saying? When it talks about think on things that are pure, it doesn't mean you just say, I want to be pure. You need a plan if you're going to walk in purity. Men in this room, you need a plan to walk in purity. Women in this room, you need a plan to walk in purity with your mind, with your mouth, with your heart. And so it's a very active application that we find in our lives to begin to walk that out and to live it. So I encourage you to do so. If you say, well, Chris, I've struggled some with that, or I've got a child that does, or a spouse that does, do you have any resource that will help them? I'm glad you asked. If there's a struggle with sexual purity in any shape, form, or fashion of any kind, I have a resource I would recommend to you. It's a book by Levi Lusco called Swipe Right. I love this book. It's very practical and very helpful. And it's a book. I have extra copies in my office. You can have one if you need it. You come see me. And then there are some people in our church who have walked this road in different ways and have come out of that on the good side of that, of seeking the Lord and trying to honor him. And I can put you in contact with someone else that can help you as well if you need help. Just know this, that when the scripture says whatsoever is pure, think on these things. If you're really going to do it, you got to be serious about it. We encourage you to do so. Let's keep going. Next part of this verse says whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. The English word lovely here is a good word, but it's lost some of its meaning over the years, because when we think about something lovely, you think, oh, think about something beautiful and pretty and just light and dainty. When the scripture idea of lovely in this one case, this one verse, the original Greek for this word lovely is only used one time in all the Bible, and it's right here, period. It's not used any other place. And that word literally means to walk in peace instead of conflict. So whenever it says think about what is lovely, it's meaning think about what is peaceful and avoiding conflicts. Interesting. And this says think about what is commendable. And so what is something that's commendable? It's something you would share. If you commend it to someone or you recommend it to someone, you will share it with someone else. So you put these two together, and here's what one commentator said. It's the idea of speaking things that are positive and constructive rather than negative and destructive. Speaking things that are positive and constructive rather than negative and destructive. Now, let's be honest. Which is easier to do? To say something that's negative or to say something that's positive? Well, it all depends on the moment, doesn't it? You find yourself upset with someone, it's much easier to spread a little gossip or say something negative. You find yourself excited about what God is doing in someone's life, it's much easier to say something positive. So what we have to understand is you're not going to be able to control the environment of whether you're happy or sad or mad or glad, or good things have happened to you or bad things have happened to you. You can only control what you will do with your mind when that happens. The circumstance is coming. So what will you do with your mind? And so what the scripture is saying is only think on things that you would recommend, that you would commend, things that would bring peace and not conflict. Now that, let's be honest, is easier said than done. It's easier said than done. So what I would encourage you to do, and here's the practical steps for this, is when your mind starts to tear someone down in the mind, and by the way, it's always going to start in your mind before it comes out of your mouth, even if it's for a split second. When your mind starts to tear someone down in your mind, make a decision that you will build them up instead. Let me give you a practical example of that. It happens to me pretty often. I know some might think that as a pastor that I love everybody, and I'll be honest, I could say I love everybody, but some of them might think as a pastor that I like everybody. I'm going to be honest, that's not true. Now, some of y'all are thinking, well, is it me? I'm not looking. I really like a lot of people. It takes a lot for me not to like someone, but every now and then someone comes along that's just rotten enough, it seems like to me, that it's a struggle for me to like them. You ever have anybody like that in your life? Don't point, ma'am. If they're here, don't point. But the reality is you get it. And so I'm just a real person just like you. And so I can even think that I'm going to say something a little shocking, and please don't be offended by it, but sometimes there are even people in our own faith family that I struggle to like. Not many at all. But the reality is someone that maybe is mean-spirited or constantly negative or difficult, that's a struggle. You can love them, but man, to like them's hard. It's hard. So I can catch myself, and I have recently caught myself with someone seeing them off in the distance, headed my way, and my mind immediately thinking, oh, no. Y'all know the thought, right? You know the thought. And then, though, if you'll let your mind, it starts to form thoughts beyond, oh, no, it's not really a thought. It starts to form thoughts. And then we'll start talking about, you know, that person's sorry. But instead, and so in preparation for this, actually, it was 2 weeks ago that I wrote this message. It was ready for last week, and then I was sick. So, but 2 weeks ago, one of these particular people I saw, and the Lord really began to work on me in that idea. This was all happening in milliseconds, by the way. This doesn't have to take long. And so in milliseconds in my mind, I see the person, and I say, oh, no. And then, you know, you think, what's going to? And then it's like the Lord said, but Chris, whatsoever is honorable, whatsoever is commendable, whatsoever is lovely. And so I said, okay, I'll do what I ask everybody else to do. And I'm going to begin to think. I named two things that this person in my mind does that honor the Lord that I know they do. And it just changed things. All of a sudden, for just a moment, not for long, I could see them as Jesus sees them. I didn't have to see them as Chris, because as Chris sees them, Chris doesn't want to see them. But as Jesus sees them, I can lock eyes with them, I can speak to them, and I don't have to fake it one bit. I can genuinely be thankful for what God has done in their lives, even though I wish he'd keep doing some more. And you understand. And so I want to encourage you, this, and it sounds crazy that all that can happen in a split second, but all that can happen in a split second. This idea of whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever brings peace, not conflict. My negative thoughts about that person were bringing conflict in my mind. Nobody else's. I wasn't going to say it out loud, but it was going to bring conflict in my mind. But then by changing it to something positive, listen, that was commendable. That's the kind of thing I could pass on to somebody else. I would encourage you to develop a plan yourself and how to use it in that way. Let's keep going really quickly. So all this wrap up, this one verse together. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So he's saying, if any of this is excellent, it's God-honoring. If any of this is worthy of praise, if it will give honor to the Lord, think about these things. I love how King David says, all of these ideas of focusing on the truth of God will change you. It's not so much as changing what you do. It will change you and me from the inside out. Listen to what David says in Psalm 19. He says, the law of the Lord is perfect. Remember, whatever is true, think about it. The law of the Lord. The law of the Lord is perfect. It revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord, whatever is honorable, is sure, and it makes wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right. His ways are right, whatsoever is pure, and it rejoices the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. It just makes you better. The fear of the Lord is clean, it enduring forever. And the rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So what does that say? I believe that Psalm 19 has a pretty good correlation to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It's the idea that when you put God's word in what is true and holy and pure and lovely and commendable and righteous, you put these things in your mind, you actively put them in, it will help us to live out what he's called us to do. Then in Philippians 4, 9, he says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Now, friends, that looks great on paper, but you got to live this out to walk in victory. And that's not always easy. So would you take a moment right now and examine your own mind? Is there one of these areas that you struggle with in your mind that you have a little stinking thinking in? One of these in particular? If that's the case, make a renewed commitment today to have a plan to work on that. Maybe for you, it's not just one. Maybe it's multiple. Maybe for you, you feel like you are overloaded in your mind with some stinking thinking. I want to encourage you, take the next right step in front of you. Let's sum it up real quick. He says, whatever is true, remember, ask the question or focus and fill. Focus on the word of God daily and fill yourself with the truth of God by being around other believers, being in his word, allowing yourself to be around opportunities to hear more about who he is. Second, whatever is honorable and just, you stop and ask, is this what God thinks or is it what I think? Because sometimes what I think is not what God thinks. Listen, can I confess to you? We live in a day and age where people have created God in their own image. The Bible says he created you in his image, but it's so easy for us to turn around and create him in our image. So what are you talking about? How do I know if I've done that? If God looks like you, loves everybody you love, dislikes the things you dislike, and wants only what you want, then you've made God into who you think he ought to be, and that's not the real God at all. What I have learned is that God himself is truth, and that God is the one who does those things. So he works in my life, and he shows me things that need to be changed about me, that things that need to be different about me. So I want to encourage you, if God thinks the way you think and acts the way you act, you've probably created your own version of him. And I would encourage you to go back to the Word of God and to really focus on that. So always ask, does God think this, or am I thinking this? And then when it says whatever is pure, remember that word halt, hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Find your trigger points in the areas that lead you to impurity, or lead you to anger, or lead you to outbursts of rage, or lead you to gossip, or lead you to indifference. Find what are the trigger points for your temptation, and then learn how to deal with that. Make a plan. It's active, not passive. And then whatever is lovely and commendable, when your mind starts to tear somebody else down before it comes out your mouth, stop and build them up. You'll have to force yourself to do it the first few times, but I encourage you to do so. So make a plan and practice these things today. We're coming to our time for invitation, and we have a practice here at our church. At the end of a message, if we've read God's word, we never want to leave people with no opportunity to respond. And so our opportunity to respond today is to respond to these commands that Paul gives us and how we can live them out. And so we want to start by just simply saying to God, would you change my mind? Would you restore my mind and help me to think like you? Through your word, through the Holy Spirit, would you change my mind? There's a song, it's a couple of decades old now, and so it's a little dated, but it's still got such a great message. It says, change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing that, but we're changing the words for today. We're going to change it to change my mind, O God, make it ever true. Change my mind, O God, may I be like you. So as we have this time of response, I don't want anyone to come at first. At first, let's respond together through our singing. Would you let this song be your prayer at your seat, where you would sincerely say, God, change my mind. You are the potter, I'm the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my mind, O God. Make it ever true. Change my mind, O God. I want to be like you. Would you let that be your prayer? Listen, don't just sing words mindlessly. Let your mind focus and attentively say, God, that's what I want. I need you to change my mind because I want to live out Philippians 4:8. So make my mind like yours. Change me. Teach me how to focus on you. And then after we sing it one time through, we'll give you an opportunity to respond. But let's start with that. So would you stand with me? And would you let this be your prayer? Change my mind, oh God. Change my mind, oh God. Come on, sing out. Make it your prayer.
Make it ever true.
Let it be your prayer this morning.
Change my mind, oh God. May I be like you.
Sing to him who he is and who you are. You are the potter.
You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray.
Change my mind, oh God.
Make it ever true. Change my mind, oh God. May I be like you.
Don's going to lead us. We'll start that over in a second. And as we do, this time I invite you to come. Maybe you want to come and pray because there's one area of your thinking that you really want to give to the Lord. So come and pray about that. Let us pray with you. Maybe you've got a family member that is totally controlled. Their emotions are out of control because their thinking is stinking. And you want to pray for them, for God to renew them. Come and pray for them. We'll pray with you. Maybe God's calling you to follow through with believer's baptism just like Baylor Ray. You want to show publicly that you have Jesus in your life. Come, let's talk about that. Maybe you want to give your life to Jesus, or maybe God's calling you to come and unite with our church and be an official member, just like 30 other families have already done this year, and you want to come and say, I want to be a part of this. Listen, you come. Whatever God is saying, would you do what he says right now? Let's sing it together.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.